we have the power to heal ourselves. And that's what's so beautiful of hitting a bottom, is that you have that hope and that drive to heal and to grow and to learn, and then to hopefully, you know, spread this awareness that we can heal ourselves, and our bodies are so powerful. Our minds are so powerful to really manifest what you want changed and the health you want to be in.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Pure Happy Healthy. My name is Leandra Haupt. I work as a model, I'm a techno lover and a 90s fashion enthusiast. And I work as a hypnotherapist and life coach. Through my work and this podcast, I want to bring more connection, happiness and health into this world. Each week, I release an interview with an inspiring guest, all on the topics Pure, Happy, Healthy. So today's topic is a topic that is not so much spoken about in the public media. It's about the female menstruation cycle. Only in the past years, more research has been done and more people slowly start to speak about it or post about it. But still, so many people who don't really know anything about the cycle, not only men, but also including women, not knowing anything about their cycle besides that they have maybe mood swings, pain, maybe sadness or food cravings. And then, of course, when we think about this, it is something that we don't want to have in our life and that we kind of want to put away. And also, the blood of the menstruation is seen as something really dirty we don't really want to deal with and we don't really want to talk about. So you can see it's not really normalized to even talk about it, and especially men don't want to talk about it or even find it strange when maybe their girlfriend or their sister has mood swings or when they're more introvert at a time. So even more important that we speak about it today. So I will be speaking with Pauline Goossens today, who is an expert of hormones and of the menstruation cycle and coaches women all over the world to get in tune with their cycle. And as we will find out today, so it doesn't need to be a mysterium, and there are so many ways to avoid feeling bad when you're with your cycle, and how you can even use your cycle to be in your fullest potential and structure your whole life around it. When we embrace our cycle instead of working against it, we learn how we as a woman can be more productive, creative, social, and so much more, and use all the times, all the weeks of our cycle to be in our fullest potential. This might sound surprising to some of you, as we have been trained as a society to think that it is normal to have pain, PMS, or even take birth control from a really teenager years on and don't even feel anything at all. In this conversation with Pauline Goossens, you will learn how to use each week of your cycle most efficiently, what you can do to get rid of birth control, and how the female and the male cycle work. So without further ado, let's get into this beautiful conversation with Pauline Goossens. Yeah, today I am speaking with Pauline Goossens, who has been on my podcast more than a year ago and therefore was one of my first guests. And I thought it was time to invite her again to speak more about her beautiful work, which she will hopefully explain further in a second. Hi, and welcome, first of all.
Thank you, Leandra. It's nice to be here again.
You're on Bali at the moment, and it's morning for me in Berlin. It's evening for you in Bali, but maybe you still remember. My first question is always, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Ooh, it was so beautiful and so nourishing. I had a mix of vegetables, beetroot, all steamed, beetroot, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, garlic, zucchini. And then I had a couple of eggs, scrambled eggs, with turmeric, ashwagandha, and black pepper. And then I had a piece of wild-caught salmon, some avocado, and parsley and coriander on top to detox heavy metals.
Wow.
And sauerkraut.
Ah,
Wow, that is a breakfast for the goddess, I would say. That's amazing. Yeah. I spoke with you in my podcast episode number 3 or 4, I think. But would you like to introduce yourself again for listeners who haven't listened to this episode yet?
Yeah, so I am a hormone cycle researcher and educator and coach. So my passion is to educate men and women on their hormone cycles, how to better understand them, and to work with them, because they dictate everything in our lives, are what we do, what we say, what we think, how we react, what foods we crave, everything. So if you can just listen to your bodies, we can figure out how to live a more balanced life through that.
Beautiful. I feel like, I don't know if I'm in a bubble or so, but I feel like this topic of cycling with the hormones, and also the topic for women getting off the anti-baby pill, has been such a big thing in the past year. And like ever since we even talked about it, this conversation has come up in my surroundings so often. So I think it's really a topic that is all over the world at the moment. How can I be more in tune with my body? Also connected to how can I be more healthy? How can I be more aligned, maybe, and feel myself a little bit more. So would you also make this observation that this is like a very like a very actual topic in the world at the moment, which has come up more and more for people?
Definitely. We're definitely riding a women's movement, like another wave of women's movement. Before, it was the birth control movement of, like, you know, women wanted to have careers just like men. And, you know, it was having birth control available so that women can follow their dreams. But I feel like now we're realizing the detrimental effects of birth control and realizing that that was not the way to go. And so now that we know how bad birth control, you know, it changes our brain chemistry, it depletes our gut microbiome, it suppresses our immune system, changes our sense of smell to find a suitable partner. It just does so many things to make women more suppressed biologically, physically, and mentally, spiritually even, to instead of bringing up and empowering women and using each phase of our cycles to be the most healthy and abundant and beautiful, happiest self. And that's what this movement is trying to do now, is realizing that women are different than men, and that we have our own natural superpowers that are great for each phase of the cycle.
I love that. And you already said a few things. What happens when we take the pill? It's bad for our gut microbiome, etc. Could you explain what exactly happens when we take the pill, and how does it actually work so we cannot be fertile?
So it does quite a few things. For one, it gets rid of the HPA axis, which is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal gland axis. What that means is that it's your stress response system. So when we feel stressed, our hypothalamus and our pituitary send a signal down to our adrenals to make cortisol. And that's the stress that we feel. But then, since that there's that signaling system, we become aware we're stressed, and we can naturally relax ourselves or realize that we are no longer in a fight or flight situation. However, when you're on birth control, that signaling system completely disappears. It's non-existent. So then your other organs will try to bring down these the cortisol levels. And so they stop detoxing, they stop purifying your blood, they stop digesting, doing their work, basically. So that's one thing that doesn't make us fertile, because it suppresses your stress response system so that you can focus on lowering stress versus focusing on fertility, for example. Another thing is that it changes our sense of smell, so you can't find a suitable partner. It makes your immune system lower so that you're not healthy enough to have a baby. And another thing is that birth control is made of synthetic testosterone. So we're putting a completely different and androgynous or male hormone within the female body so that we have a daily dose of synthetic testosterone. What that does is that it makes us gain weight, and where men usually gain weight, which is their stomach. And it makes us grow facial hair. It makes us more into having male characteristics, for example. Whereas when we're naturally cycling and we're ovulating and we're the brightest, most fertile phase of our cycle, and we're beautiful and super feminine, this is what, you know, makes us fertile and optimal health, and to find a perfect mate to have a baby. And this is what hormone cycles are. It's really a cycle, kind of like how we look at nature outside. The plants are trying to get as much nutrients as possible from the earth, as much that right amount of sun from the, yeah, of energy from the sun, the right amount of water to produce the most beautiful, strongest, healthiest baby, plant baby. And that's what our hormone cycles are also telling us. They're constantly telling us, hey, eat this, do this, so that we can be our most fertile. And then if once our cycle realizes we didn't get pregnant, it starts all over again. And so men have this 24-hour cycle and women have this month-long cycle. So taking the pill suppresses all of that and makes women have a daily testosterone cycle, just like men. And it's not allowing us to make that estrogen, which is the socializing and muscle building, bone density strengthening, mind, brain developing hormones to make you intelligent and speak better and fertile, basically enough to reproduce a child, a living being.
Mm. You were mentioning a few times already that the sense of smell is so important for finding our ideal match or mate. For someone who has never heard about this concept or is thinking like, why is smell so important there? Like, could you dive a bit deeper into that topic? Like, why is the sense of smell so important?
Great question. And it is a pretty, I don't want to say complex, but just, you know, when you hug someone and you really feel and sense their pheromones are that like, oh, wow, I'm attracted to you. That's why we have a sense of smell. And the sense of smell is heightened when we are in the luteal phase. So we have four different phases. And the luteal phase is the phase after ovulation, before your period, before menstruation. And naturally rising levels of cortisol or stress allows us to have higher sensitivity. So we have a higher sense of smell, taste, eyesight, touch. Everything is a little bit more sensitive to basically protect the baby protect the potential baby, because your hormones think you're pregnant in this phase of the cycle. So it's that sense of smell is so important to, one, protect your baby, but also to smell if someone is smell comes out when you are really stressed, for example, or if you've smelled someone who's really stressed, you can smell that they have bad body odor. And that's like a sign of like, oh no, they're not physically or mentally or emotionally stable right now. So their body is suppressing their fertility and focusing on like healing that stress. Does that make sense? So when we have a sense of smell, it really tells you if someone is stable enough to support you and your fertility.
Are there certain combinations of people who have certain smells as well that you can already smell that this is a good match for you or not?
Ooh, I don't know. Are you talking about different races or different, what do you mean?
Not at all. Just like the hormone cocktail that each individual has inside of them. I mean, that also goes into the smell, right? Like the hormones that we have as an individual. So subconsciously you smell that kind of smell from the other person, that scent. Right. So can you already smell just from the hormone cocktail that you don't even really consciously know of if it's a good match for you or not?
Yeah, definitely. I could definitely say that it's on an individual basis. Like you intuitively know, like, oh, this person is right or this person isn't right. It could be the smell or any other sense. You know, you kind of have an energy when you walk into a room and someone had just had an argument, for example, you walk into the room and you feel that energy. And so that's another form of sensitivity that we have, that also we can have with our sense of smell, that there's just something off, or something making you second guess yourself or wanting to explore further.
Yeah, I think the sense of smell is so underestimated and so underrated in our perception. I had the example when it was like years ago, but I had a really bad cold and I took nose spray. And for some weird reason, this nose spray just completely put down my sense of smell for like 4 days or something. And that was the first time I really realized how important it is, because you don't smell yourself. You feel a bit lost in the world because you cannot estimate like how a situation is like. You, as you said, you don't really know, is there danger? Is someone nice? Is someone, like, does that person feel good to me? You don't even smell, like when you wash your hair, like, am I clean? You know, do I smell clean? So I felt like I was a bit lost in the world, and it was really such a big learning lesson for me how important a sense and a sense of smell and also taste connected to that is, and how much of a pleasure it also brings to life. And you only know it sometimes when you lose it, unfortunately. So right. I was really grateful when I got it back. Yeah. You were already explaining a little bit, diving into the different weeks and what they mean. I would love to go through each single week with you through the natural cycle of a woman and what a woman can do to really, really get into their full power and into the strength in terms of exercise, in terms of how to behave, in terms of what to eat. So can we start with week one? First of all, can you please explain where week one starts and what can we do to step in our full power in week one?
Right. Great question. So I'd like to start off with what hormones are. They're the communication system in our bodies, between our mind and our body, to make us feel a certain way. So when we are menstruating, the first day of your bleed is the first day of your month-long cycle. And what happens is that our temperature drops and our hormones are at the lowest amount out of any other time in the cycle. So we are really feeling low energy. And, or the lowest energy out of any other time of the cycle when we bleed. We're losing a lot of magnesium, a lot of zinc, and a lot of iron. So the best things to do when we're menstruating is to really replenish yourself with those minerals and vitamins, iron, magnesium, and zinc. So those are foods like dark leafy greens. It's also a reason why we crave cacao or chocolate when we are bleeding, because it has high levels of magnesium, but we just want to make sure that we go for the organic raw cacao versus, you know, a chocolate bar that's been highly processed and in a plastic package. So then the best things to do during this time, it's really a time to be present. Your hormone cycle just realized that it's not pregnant, so it's ripped down the wall. So really feel and be empathetic for your womb, who's just realized, no, we didn't get pregnant. So we're ripping down the walls. But this blood is so beautiful. It's sacred. It was the blood that was about to make life. So it has stem cells in it. And the stem cell was about to make a beautiful baby. And so now that's why our blood is different from, like, if we get a paper cut on our arm versus the blood that we're menstruating from, it's very different blood. And this energy is definitely draining. So we want to replenish with iron, magnesium, and zinc. It's also a time to really focus on being gentle with yourself, restoring, relaxing. For exercise, I love doing yin yoga, which is a very relaxing, grounding. I like to focus on hip openers, having my knees out wide, my feet together, laying down on the ground, really being as connected to the earth as possible. Then, within that topic, I just want to cover about the products that we should be using during our bleed. We definitely want to be using organic cotton if you are using tampons or pads, because it's a very sensitive ecosystem that we have in the vagina and the uterus. And so putting something synthetic and that's just, you know, taking in all the good like mucus and lining that's in there that's protecting and providing this beautiful ecosystem. It's being completely taken away if you're putting a synthetic product in there. So with that, we want to nourish ourselves as well with organic products. And also the cup, the silicone cup, is really nice because you get to see the color of your blood, and different colors of the blood will signify different things. So, you know, maybe you're not making enough progesterone or not enough estrogen, and so on. So once we finish bleeding, our menstruation will usually last about 3 to 6 days. And once we finish bleeding, we go into the follicular phase. So your womb is creating a follicle that turns into that's turning into the egg, growing. And so this is also your life is growing. Your energy is growing. Estrogen develops our brains. It strengthens our muscles, our bones. And so it's really a time to be strengthening your body and strengthening your mind. Your hippocampus is the long-term memory storage of your brain. And this is most active the higher the estrogen rises. So towards ovulation. And our bodies are focused on becoming more fertile. So we're not as hungry. Our metabolism goes down, but our digestion goes up. So it's a great time to be eating gut healing foods like fermented foods, omega-3s, to metabolize our hormones. And as well as, yeah, just eating lighter. And that will help you to focus on the stored fat as energy, to focus on your fertility for ovulation, which is when you're like the most fertile, your face is symmetrical, your verbal skills are highest, your brain skills are highest, your body is super strong. And so that ovulation is like the summer phase and you're wanting all the attention. But something that happens during this time is that we're really outside of our bodies and we're really thinking, like, I want to be here. I want to be there. Same with the follicular phase, that spring phase. Your mindset is really much in the future. And it's a great time to be like mind mapping or scheduling. And so the follicular and ovulation phases are really for like looking forward, looking ahead. But with that comes a negative thought pattern that can happen is fear, because fear is being scared of the future. So if you're ever experiencing fear during this phase, you can be like, oh, I'm experiencing fear. Where am I in my cycle? Oh, in the follicular or ovulatory phase. Then that means that it's not me, it's just my hormones. So I can detach myself from that and continue on to the positive path in this cycle. So ovulation is very much a time to be grounded and grateful for what you have, because your mind can be so out of self. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify, that was all week two, right? So we're in week two. And ovulation, can you also explain for someone who is not familiar to this at all, at which point of the cycle is actually the ovulation? How many days into the week and so on?
Great. Thank you for that. ovulation is really a moment in time. So it's when the follicle releases the egg for fertilization in hopes that it got fertilized. And so it's really a moment in time, but you feel that peak of estrogen, that high, for like 3 to 4 days. And you can even extend that ovulation a few more days if you like, if you, you know, have a birthday party coming up and you're a couple days away and you're like, oh, I really hope I'm ovulating during my most social time. And so you can eat lighter foods, like think summer salads versus like a heavy meal, like mashed potatoes and meat, or, you know, something that will, then your body's going to focus on digesting versus focusing on becoming fertile. So the lighter caloric foods you eat during this time, which you should be eating, you know, this doesn't mean fast all day, but just having lighter caloric foods that are still replenishing your nutrients. But yeah, ovulation is a beautiful time when you are in that fertile window. That's about 6 days. So this is another thing. It's just like birth control came, but we're taking a pill every single day when we really just need to avoid like 6 days, you know, around our fertile window, if you're not planning on having a child. So ovulation, yeah, it's very short. And then we, right after ovulation, we enter the luteal phase. So the luteal phase, you'll notice you've entered the luteal phase after ovulation, when all of a sudden you're hungry. The moment you wake up, you're hungry, you're tired, or more tired, you want to sleep in more. You're subconsciously cleaning your hands more often because now your hormones think you're pregnant. So the number one priority for this phase is to protect the baby. So that means we need about 200 to 300 more calories. So we need more food. We are getting our energy from food now versus our stored fat on our body. We are needing more sleep, more rest because we're potentially pregnant. We are needing exercises and movements that bring our cortisol levels down because in this phase, like I mentioned earlier, our cortisol levels naturally rise. And this is to create more awareness. It's to create a better intuition. It's to protect us from potential danger. So we have higher sense of smell, taste, touch, everything. And it's really a time when we're much more introverted and wanting to nest and clean and have organization within our home and be surrounded by people who are supportive of your potential pregnancy, close friends and family. So one thing that why I think this movement is happening is because we're realizing that, wait, 95% of research has been done on men. And so all of these things of like eating the same diet, eating this or doing the same exercise every day, or even exercising every day, these things are for men because they have a daily hormonal schedule. However, if we over-exercise during the luteal phase, we're putting our bodies in more stress when our bodies think we're pregnant. And that actually turns on fat storage because our body's like, to protect the baby, hold on to all the fat. And so it's, if you're over-exercising, we're turning on fat storage, bone density loss, and muscle wasting. Whereas if we do like a gentle yoga flow or you can still go to the gym, just don't be doing cardio, for example, nothing that's going to raise your blood pressure high or your heartbeat higher. Nothing that you would think would be bad for the baby, for example. And and we need more slow burning carbs like sweet potato, pumpkin, think fall-like or autumn-like foods. And as well as really keeping our blood sugars stable. So cinnamon is a great herb for stabilizing our blood sugar because insulin is much more, or our blood sugar levels are much more sensitive during this time as well. So let's say you eat a chocolate bar or a cup of coffee, especially on an empty stomach, that's going to spike your blood sugar levels and then make you crash. Whereas you can eat slow burning carbs and healthy fats, which will give you more energy over the long run. And it gives you brain food. It gives you, it turns into or converts into progesterone, which is the dominating hormone during this phase. And progesterone is, it means to induce the carrying of a child. And this is a very sedating and calming hormone. And so we should be feeling relaxed. We weren't meant to feel in pain and we weren't meant to have PMS. PMS is a symptom to show us that something is off. There's a hormonal imbalance. So it's there to help us again and tell us like, hey, you're having cramps. That means you need omega-3s during the follicular phase. Let's do this next cycle so I don't feel this anymore. And you can prevent your symptoms of postmenopausal symptoms or perimenopausal symptoms. You can prevent Alzheimer's and osteoporosis, things that with declining estrogen in our later years, you can prevent by taking care of your health now, which is really cool. So,
wow. Yeah. Thank you for taking us through the whole cycle. You already mentioned a little bit, men also have a cycle and you also help men stepping into their full power in terms of their cycle. So what's the in the opposite for a woman? How is a man's cycle built up?
So a male hormonal cycle is over the course of 24 hours. It's a day. And they replenish and restore their testosterone when they're sleeping, especially during the hours of 4 to 6 a.m. And then, so in the morning, that's why men would get morning wood when their testosterone is highest. And this is the best time to think about like the 9-to-5 schedule that we all live in, right? This is based on the male hormonal cycle. So they wake up in the morning, they work out, they have sex if they have that option. And then from 9 to 5 is when their brains are working, their verbal skills are highest, their energy levels are best to be around people and work together. It's also in the mornings for men, it's also the time when they're more competitive and more aggressive. So you might notice, I don't know if maybe you get into an argument with your partner, you know, is it more in the morning or is it more in the evening when their testosterone levels are lower? Or, you know, how can a man focus their energy into a competition? Better to do that in the morning. They have more testosterone to be more risk-taking and more competitive in the mornings. So yeah, that's the 9-to-5 schedule. And then at around 3 o'clock, their testosterone tends to go down quite a bit, which is something beautiful. I've noticed that a lot of countries, kind of like Sweden, they're starting to have shorter work days. And so this is really cool because we know now in research that testosterone levels go down around 3 o'clock. So why stay until 5 when their minds are just not as productive as when they're in the morning? So during that 5 o'clock time, though, that's why we have happy hour, because men also have estrogen. And estrogen is very essential for the male, for the male's growth as well in different ways, just like how women have testosterone, which peaks during ovulation to give us extra confidence as well. Men have estrogen to help with their brain development, their bones, and their immune system. So during that later evening or later afternoon into evening time, they're a lot more social and passive. So this is a great time to have happy hour. And then to go home and relax, and you know, if you want to have a nice talk with your partner in the evening when they're more passive, or if you want something from your partner in the evening, asking them is a little bit easier to get it.
Yeah, it's interesting how our whole society is really built around men, and also like the man cycle, as you were explaining, like the 9-to-5 is such a male rhythm of life. So, I mean, now it's starting, as you said, in Sweden, maybe that it's breaking a little bit up in terms of the working hour. And now with so many people being in home office or starting their own business, it has become a bit more open, I would say. But if we still are as a woman in a 9-to-5 and or we have these working times with deadlines, etc., how can we incorporate our monthly cycle and flowing with that into that system of the man's rhythm of a 9-to-5?
It's a wonderful question that I would love to see incorporated in corporations. That's great.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So like I mentioned before, in the follicular phase, women are very much in a forward-thinking mindset. So you can really bring your superpowers into the workplace, into your own schedule and own like to-do list that you have to do. Whatever project you have at work, you can bring that into there. So let's say you are in a corporate job and you do have certain projects to be done. And so that to-do list, you're starting at the very beginning of your cycle, maybe right after your period. I would suggest, I mean, it's great that we can work from home now, or more people are working from home, and to really maybe do your work from your bed when you're bleeding, or take a day off if you can, or a couple of days off. I would highly suggest that. And just bring that awareness and that communication to your manager. Let them know about the superpowers in the entire month. And what these superpowers are is that during the follicular phase, women are very much have higher levels of higher verbal skills. So we can be the ones doing meetings. We have higher levels of hippocampus activity, which is that long-term memory storage. So it's the best time to learn a new skill. It's also a time when we are most, we're best at forward thinking. So scheduling, mind mapping, setting appointments, things like that. Those are really great for the follicular phase. Then during ovulation, when we're your most attention grabbing and most beautiful, because our faces are most symmetrical, and we're more desirable to other people. If you have a product to sell, make this the time to do it. Make it like, you know, people are easily or more easily intrigued by you. And so, I mean, that's what a business is to sell something, right? Or to let someone know about your product or your services. And so this is really a time when you can tell your manager, like, hey, I'm at the best time of my cycle now to be presentable, to do this for our team, to grow this business. And then during the luteal phase, it's very much of a reflective mindset and introverted. So this is a time when our brain loves to focus on details. It loves to edit, loves to analyze, loves to, just reflect on maybe what's worked, what hasn't worked. And so this is also a really good attribute to bring into the workplace, because, you know, you can have your introverted space and let your manager know, like, hey, I'm introverted. I need more space. I would love to do a task that is more editing. And like I said, your brain loves to focus on details. So it's like, use that superpower to your advantage to edit whatever project you have worked on in the past month or a few months or whatever. And as well as right before our bleed, right before our period, that's when our brain, both hemispheres, are communicating the most, and through the corpus callosum, which is the nerve bundle in between both hemispheres. And that allows for complex problem solving, thinking outside the box, and ultimate creativity. So imagine you can't figure out a problem when you're at work, and it's, you know, it's the time for you to be like, I can take this task on and try to solve it in a different way that maybe nobody else has tried to think about it before. So it allows for that creative growth in the company.
Yeah. I think, as usual, communication is the key. Just being open with it and putting your needs and your boundaries out there as well. I know the first time when we had the interview, you scheduled the interview right on your productive days. So just communicating, hey, I cannot do the interview in this week, but the next week I'm free. And just communicating that openly. And then, yeah, you're into your full power. And I mean, for me, that's okay as well if I want to have you as a guest, right? I know that a lot of men don't fully understand the cycle of a woman or their girlfriends or partners. And I think in a relationship also, it's so important to communicate about that, not only because if we don't take the birth control pill and maybe not the spiral, we need to talk about contraception if we don't want to have a child, right? But then also talking about these different phases, do you have any take on that or any advice on that? What's a good way to talk with your partner about this, how you feel, and also maybe how does your relationship change within the cycle?
Yeah. With my partner, I mean, this is my work, so I'm always talking to him about hormones, but
it's, he's used to it already.
Yeah, he's used to it. He knows me better than I do. No, no, but it's beautiful because we don't take things personally. We rarely fight because I'm aware enough of where my hormones are to know, like, oh, okay, right now I'm in the follicular phase and I want to be social. So I will take my boyfriend out on a date and be like, hey, let's go try this new restaurant. Let's go, because pleasure is more pleasurable during this phase. So it's, and learning new skills or doing new things. So let's try surfing. Let's try, you know, and it allows for you to have new and exciting dates with your partner instead of that daily, you know, just daily life of, oh, I don't know what to do. And you can really use your cycle to your advantage of like, let's go do things together. And as well as foods, you know, maybe cooking together, and you can learn together how to cook for each of us. And then, yeah, just communicating, like, you know, in the follicular phase, I'm realizing fear, but even that, I tried to notice it in myself first before bringing it up to my partner. And when I'm ovulating, for example, yeah, I want to be out. And so if he wants to come partying or, you know, dancing or whatever it is, not so much partying anymore these days, but, and then in the luteal phase, when I'm more introverted, I just let him know I would like to take more space. I just, you know, don't take things personally. I'm just taking some more time for myself when I'm more introverted, more intuitive, more creative. So I'd like to spend time focusing on myself and focusing on my art projects. And, but it's nothing personal, because a lot of the times in a relationship, we think like, oh, they're avoiding me, or they're like attached, or yeah, they're too attached or too clingy, or they're separating themselves and I don't know what's going on. She's up, she's down, and she's not the same every day. And so by understanding where a woman is on a weekly basis or even a daily basis, a man or a partner can fully support their woman partner in each of her phases. And instead of having expectations that a woman should be the same every single day, we aren't.
I hope a lot of men are listening to this podcast right now. So men, if you're still there, please hang in. And girls, send this to your partners, boyfriends, fathers, yes, whoever. So everyone gets this in their ear. If we don't take the birth control pill or the spiral, which is also baby on hormones and has a similar impact, what are some natural contraceptive methods that we can use if we don't want to have a baby?
So some that are natural, you can use a copper IUD, which is the, yeah, the like the tea, copper tea that you would put up in your uterus. You are still able to ovulate and menstruate during with the copper IUD. The only thing is that I have heard of some women getting copper toxicity because it is still a foreign object in your body and it changes the pH. So, but it does allow you to produce your natural hormones throughout the entire cycle. I use the basal thermometer option. So there are a couple of apps you can use that you basically, you buy your own thermometer and it has a basal temperature. So it should say 36.34. You need those two decimal points at the end, not 36.3. And that basal thermometer, you take it under your tongue the moment you wake up before getting out of bed. And that's your resting temperature. And so when we bleed, our temperature drops. And then right after ovulation, our temperature rises, you know, putting baby in the oven until you bleed again, then your temperature drops. So having a temperature and analyzing and putting in the data of your temperature, this app can figure out the algorithm of what your fertile window is, and also putting a bigger window so that sperm that can live up to 5 days also can't make or can't get to you or can't get to your egg. So that's my favorite way, because you are really, it makes me really in tune with my cycle. And knowing when my temperature rises and drops is really cool too, because when my temperature will drop, I will know, oh, my period will start today. So I can prepare myself. I can take my cup with me to wherever I go, and or even put it in preparation for when it does come, and, you know, I won't be surprised. So it's a great way to track your cycle. Otherwise, there's using, you know, withdrawal or abstinence or condoms or things like that. But yeah, the best way to track your cycle, I would say, is to track your basal thermometer or basal temperature.
Yeah, great. If someone is saying now, a woman is saying now, wow, that actually sounds pretty great. I would love to live up to my cycle. And but the person is still on birth control for years and years. I have spoken with so many women who said they actually feel it's not really right for them anymore, but there's so much fear because they don't really know who they are without the birth control, because they took it since they were like in the puberty, which in my opinion is so crazy that doctors already give the birth control to 14, 15, 16 years old. And especially the arguments I hear very often is I had bad skin, so I went on birth control, and I had really bad PMS or really, really bad pain when I'm menstruating. So I'm scared of getting off the pill. Is there any way that makes it easier to get off it? Or what can you say to these women who have these fears because of all the health problems they had before, and which they, the symptoms at least they solved with the birth control.
Right. That's something that really speaks to me or resonates with me, because I was put on the pill when I was 15 because I had cramps for 2 weeks, and I didn't want to have cramps for, and my period also lasted about 2 weeks long. So I was thinking, oh no, I'm doomed. I don't want to have my period for half my life, and I don't want to be in pain. And so I went to the doctor, and they said, oh, you don't need a period. That's for old time's sake. And, you know, that's modern women these days, we take a pill, you know, that's what science knows. And since I was an aspiring doctor, I really put these doctors up on a pedestal and trusted them. They had never told me about how a woman's cycle works. And the fact that the moment we do end up getting our period, our first menstruation, in those first adolescent years, our hormones aren't perfectly normal or like perfect the moment we start our period. They're for the entire rest of your life, from, you know, day one of your life, your hormones were on a daily schedule, and all of a sudden now you've gotten a month-long cycle. So it's trying to figure itself out. And by balancing this, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, we need different nutrients for different phases of our cycle. And if we're not providing these nutrients, then our hormones will be off. If we're eating packaged foods, refined sugars, and, you know, all of, we have so many hormone disruptors. I just heard this morning, actually, that I want to say 90% of sperm has gone, or like fertility rates have gone down since the 80s, because we are so surrounded by hormone disruptors, synthetic products, you know, chemicals in our water. All these things are lowering our fertility rates. And it's really sad to hear that, and even to have, yeah, doctors prescribing, you know, pills that suppress your fertility. Yeah. And what resonated with me was that I was on the pill for 10 years because, and I was scared to come off of it, because it's like, wow, I'm taking something on a daily basis. And we've always hear that hormones make you crazy. You know, so there is a lot of fear of coming off birth control, and, your risk of depression goes up by 220% when you go off birth control as well. Like it's really, especially if you started birth control when you were young. But I do believe that depression is also because we don't have the education and we don't have the knowledge. So with clients that I work with now, women who are coming off birth control, I'm giving them a guide, basically. I created a 13-page ebook guide to help you balance your hormones the moment you come off your birth control, or even if you're not having a regular cycle, you can use it as well. But when you come off birth control, your hormones are trying to balance themselves out, and it's your estrogen might go really high. You might not be making any progesterone. You might not be ovulating normally. So there are quite a bit of issues that can happen, but not knowing what is going on hormonally, going from like, oh, I was so happy yesterday when I was ovulating, and then I entered my luteal phase, and so my estrogen takes a dip, and then it comes back up again and takes a dip. But if you don't know that estrogen takes a dip, you're taking that to heart, and I was getting ruminating thoughts of like, what's wrong with me? I was so happy yesterday, now I'm sad. And then you think it's you, but really it's just your hormones. And to realize, really, like, knowing that hormones affect you so much, your decisions, your mindset, your body, everything, that you can really, meditation helped me a lot with detaching myself from what my hormones are trying to make me think and what my true self is trying to make me think. And really working on your gut health, because your birth control suppresses your immune system, suppresses your gut microbiome. You're really wanting to heal from the gut, and taking care of your gut with, you know, fermented foods and yeah, foods that are activating good bacteria in your gut, and raising your immune system. And so taking things like zinc and fermented foods will really help with that.
It's so funny. I think that everything that harms us in life from doing from something or gives us pain is usually tracked back to healthy, like not eating healthy food and movement. So I feel like sleep, movement and nutrition, if you put that right, you're already 95% all good with it and settled with everything. Yeah. It's so interesting. It's always at the core. And it's something that is actually so easy to do for everyone because it's in your own power, right? So that, yeah, it's really nice to know that you actually have your health in your own hands with all these, let's say, simple things, right? What is a good point when you maybe have pain or when you said the color of your blood is not how it's usually is, or when you feel really drained or whatever? What is a good point when you can say, oh, maybe I should see a doctor for that because something seems off? And what is quote unquote normal? I don't like the word normal because we're all different and our cycle will be different and our blood color will be different, whatever. But how do we know if we should search for a professional to seek external help?
Right. I mean, when you know, you feel like something's off, right? So then you're wanting to ask someone who does have professional expertise, let's say, or knowledge, because you're feeling like, I don't know what's going on, but I feel like something is off. So a lot of women, many women actually are not diagnosed, but have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or fibroids or endometriosis. And it takes like an average of 10 years to get a diagnosis of this. So it is pretty common in the sense, because we have been living in this very much plastic, synthetic, industrial revolution in a way that has really suppressed all of our hormones. So a lot more of these hormonal issues have been rising. And when you're feeling pain, like extreme pain in your uterus and your ovaries, definitely go see a doctor. The only thing is that doctors, Western doctors at least, they've been taught a certain way. They've been taught to prescribe a certain medication to give you. They haven't necessarily, unless they're a naturopathic or holistic wellness practitioner, they might not, a general practitioner might not know what's going on, the root cause of a certain situation. And they're not necessarily, they might not necessarily know a natural way to heal it. Whereas I would recommend going to a naturopath or a holistic healer because they're going to have a better idea of how you can help yourself make changes in your diet and your lifestyle. Like you said, sleep, food, and you know, movement are really gonna, what's gonna heal you. 10% of your health destiny comes from your genetics, and 90% is epigenetics, which is your environment, your lifestyle choices. So we very much do have control over our own health. We're not victims, and we have the power to heal ourselves. And that's what's so beautiful of hitting a bottom, is that you have that hope and that drive to heal and to grow and to learn, and then to hopefully, you know, spread this awareness that we can heal ourselves and our bodies are so powerful, our minds are so powerful to really manifest what you want changed and the health you want to be in.
Yeah, beautiful. What is one or two sentences that you would want to bring out to all the women out there who still have this fear of getting off the pill because also they were maybe raised on it, or yeah, took it so long? What is some two sentences that you can say, like, have courage or something?
Yeah. You will go from a two-dimensional world to a three-dimensional world and have and experience the most beautiful feelings you will ever feel. And you have the power to do it.
Yay. That is beautiful. I want to leave this as the last words because I think they were so strong and powerful. What's the best place to connect with you if someone wants to take a course with you or get your ebook or find more about you? Where can people reach you?
The best way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram, Pauline Giselle, PaulineGisele. That's the best way. Send me a private message. You can see I try to post as much as possible about hormones, mostly women, but also about men. I'm getting more into the male hormones now. And and as well, if you're into yoga, I'm also the founder of Om Cycle Yoga, which is yoga for the ovulation menstruation cycle. And that has a separate Instagram as well, which is omcycle.yoga. And that's how you can reach me.
Yay. I will link to that in the show notes as well, so people can check it out there. Pauline, it's always an honor to speak with you, and thank you for all the knowledge that you shared again with me. So if you want to listen to the first episode, go all the way down to the bottom and check out this episode. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you, Leandro. So nice to connect again. Much love.